Everybody? And stand by, Chris?
Stand by. Speak.
Brooks Robinson, thank you for being here. Claire Smith and I are going to ask you questions. This is for the oral history project for the Hall of Fame, and we're very glad you're willing to spend a few hours with us.
Yeah.
I always start, and Claire knows this, by asking our guests to just talk about their first baseball memory. What's your first memory of baseball? Who gave you your first glove? When did you first play? And talk about the very, very beginning of baseball for you.
Well, I think it all starts with my dad. He was Brooks C. Robinson Sr., and I was a junior, but I was the first son. And he was a pretty good semi-pro player back in Little Rock, Arkansas. He played I ended up going to the same high school, playing on the same Legion team that he did. But he was a good player. In fact, in 1937, I believe, or it could have been 38, he played softball, fast pitch for International Harvester, and they went to the World Championships in Soldiers Field in Chicago. They got beat 2-1 for the World Championship, but he was a good player, and he always encouraged me to play, and I can just, you know, remember throwing the ball around and shagging balls. And then when I got to be about 8 or 9 years old, I was a bat boy for several of the teams that he played on. He was a fireman there in Little Rock for over 30 years, and I was a bat boy for 2 or 3 of the teams that he played on. He played some softball and he played baseball, but that's my first memories of having a bat and having a ball. And I was just, that was my first love and only love as far as sports goes. I wanted to be a professional baseball player, and fortunately I grew up right around the Arkansas School for the Deaf and Blind, right across the street. And I got to play. I used to go up there and play a lot with my dad and play with the kids, the deaf kids there a lot. And I went to grammar school right across the street from the field that I played all my baseball, Little League baseball and Junior League and Intermediate League and American Legion ball. Was Lamar Porterfield. It was a boys club field. So I played all my baseball right there.
Brooks, if your father gave you one bit of baseball philosophy that you touched on throughout your career, or one bit of advice.
Sorry.
Maybe we can disconnect.
Sorry
about
that, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm just
going to
unhook. I'm not
going to.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, are you guys expecting somebody else?
There's a gentleman coming, but he already knows to come up.
Okay. Yeah, that was him. So he
was calling? Oh, okay.
Should we wait?
Sorry about that.
I have speak.
Okay, Brooks, I was asking if your father gave you one bit of advice or philosophy that you carried throughout your career, what would that have been?
I don't think he gave me a lot of advice, but I just know he was there all the time, and never a lot of criticism, never a lot of build up, and I think that's what I appreciated him for more than anything else. But He was there to, when I played a lot of the games, and when I started in the minor leagues, he was there too. But I don't think he ever gave me any advice. I think that he sensed my love for the game at that particular time. And although I played all the other sports, I knew that baseball is what I wanted to do.
What position did he play?
He was a second baseman. He played second base. And Legion ball, when he played Legion ball, and then as I said, I went to the same high school and played on the same, played basketball at high school. I didn't play football in high school.
Did baseball always come easy to you? Were you always, could you always hit, or was it something that you really had to work
very
hard?
I tell you, the game came fairly easy, but I played with a lot of guys. I played by 8 or 10 other guys signed professionally, and I wasn't really head over heels above these other players. I mean, as far as catching the ball, the hand-eye coordination, that's something that came I think, fairly easy. That's something that I could always catch the ball. Of course, when I got to the higher I went professionally, hitting became a little tougher, and it took me a while to get the hang of that. But I could always catch the ball. I was a good hitter, American Legion baseball, very average speed, very average arm. But the thing I had going for me was the fact that I could, you know, catch the ball. And when I signed professionally in 1955, no one wanted to give me a lot of money. That was a time when if you got more than $4,000, you were a bonus player and had to go directly to the major leagues. And no one wanted to offer me a lot of money. I signed for $4,000, and that was my salary for the first year. But I think that really was benefited me to go and play with guys my own speed instead of being penalized and being in the major leagues for 2 years, which I saw it stunned a lot of players' growth at that particular time. So I was fortunate in that respect.
Brooks, when Don Mattingly was asked to start one game at third base by Lou Piniella, almost everybody fainted because he was left-handed. When did a left-handed Brooks Robinson start playing third, and how unusual was that, or were you ambidextrous?
Well, I was ambidextrous to a certain point. I eat left-handed, write left-handed, ping-pong, tennis, shoot left-handed. So from here down, I'm pretty well coordinated. Now, I can't throw left-handed at all, but I do everything else left-handed, and I'm sure that helped me as far as being able to get the glove in the right spot and make the plays.
But you never batted left-handed.
Never batted left-handed. In fact, you know, back in the early 50s, late 40s, I don't think I never knew anyone who was a switch hitter, to tell you the truth. No one really thought about it that particular time. And of course, Mickey Mantle came in the 50s, and he was the greatest switch hitter of all time. But I never really saw her.
So your father didn't try to turn you around and make you a left-handed?
No, I wish he had, though. I wish my father had tried to turn me around and make me left-handed at all. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I got beat by that monkey on the first base. But, I played all the positions. I was a catcher sometimes. I was a pitcher. My last 2 years of American Legion baseball, I played second base. I signed with the Orioles as a second baseman. And I played my first 50 games professionally at York, Pennsylvania as a second baseman. And then George Stoller, who was my manager, and Paul Richards really felt like in the long run, third base might be my best position, because basically it's a reflex position where at second base have to cover a lot more ground. And they just saw me as a third baseman thinking I might get a little stronger and learn to hit. And consequently, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, is to move to third base.
Can you talk about life in Little Rock? It's obviously the state capital, but was it out the door and off to the baseball field every day, or did you have schoolboy chores or work around the house to do?
No, it was pretty much sports in my life growing up, and going to grammar school and junior high and in high school. And I didn't have a lot of chores, except I did have a paper route, and an early morning route, which I would get up every morning, deliver papers before I went to school. And I had that for 3 or 4 years, and that was my way of earning money, I guess you could say. And I remember that I was kind of I knew about the game of baseball. I knew more or less the history of the game. I can remember when Babe Ruth died in 1948, cutting out the story on Babe Ruth and putting it in my scrapbook on the back page, and Grover Cleaver and Cleveland Alexander. And so I knew the history of the game. I knew about Ewell Blackwell and Johnny Vandermeer throwing too. So I'd read a lot, read up on these and players. And of course, I knew all the great players from the state of Arkansas, like Bill Dickey, who's in the Hall of Fame, old George Kell, who got to be one of my favorite people and really was my mentor, more so to speak, when I got to the big leagues. But Lon Warnke, the Arkansas Hummingbird, they called him. And so I really followed the game. Although one of the most exciting things was every year when I was in school, two teams would come through Little Rock to play an exhibition game. And that was in March, I guess. And most of the time it was the Cardinals and the White Sox. I got to go out and get out of school and go out and see the exhibition game, and that was a big thrill. But I was a big baseball fan, and And in the eighth grade, we had to write a booklet called My Vocation, or What You Wanted to Do When You Grew Up, and I wrote it on the becoming a professional baseball player. And we had to put the hours and the salaries and put some pictures in there. And I got a good grade on that book, too. But that's really, you're pretty presumptuous, I guess, when you're that age. You're saying, well, I'm going to be a big league baseball player, you know, not knowing the fatality rate is enormous of players who sign and never make it. But that was my dream. And I had some big decisions to make. I had some scholarships to college to play basketball, and I had to talk my mother and dad out of that to sign professionally. As I say, no one really wanted to give me a lot of money, but they wanted to sign me. But I ended up signing with Baltimore through a good friend of mine, a good friend of my family named Lindsey Deal, who was a baseball player who played for Paul Richards when Paul managed the Atlanta Crackers. And Lindsey his family went to church with my family, and so he wrote Paul Richards a letter saying, Paul, there's a kid here who we think that, you know, might be able to make the big league someday. Would you send someone in to scout him? And of course, this was 1954. It was the first year of the Orioles, or 55, I guess. Second year of the Orioles. They came to Baltimore. They were the old St. Louis Browns in 53, and then they moved to Baltimore. So Paul Richards took over, and he sent a couple of fellas in there to look at me, and so I ended up signing with the Orioles because that was the quickest way to the major leagues. That's what he sold me on. We don't have any players, and you're going to get a chance to play early here in your career. And consequently, I got a chance to play when I was 18. After my season was over, I came back to the Orioles, and I got to play the last 2 weeks there at Camden Yards.
Who were your heroes? Do you remember when you were younger? Who did you think you wanted to model yourself after? Were there a third baseman or Gehringer, a second baseman that you really looked up to?
Well, my heroes were Stan Musial. Growing up a Cardinal fan, we used to get the Cardinal games on the radio, so I knew all the Cardinals, Shane Deason, Marty Marion, and Ray Jablonski, and Al Brazel, and Murray Dixon, and Harry the Cat Bikin, who came to Baltimore as a coach when I was there. So I kind of grew up wanting to be a Cardinal. That was what I wanted to do. And I did have a chance to sign with them, but I ended up signing with Baltimore. But the St. Louis Cardinals are really my team. And I got to play against Stan Musial also, and got to know him fairly well. We ended up going to Vietnam on a tour, and Stan was part of that back in around 67, I guess. But he was my boyhood hero.
You didn't want to copy his batting stance, though.
No, I didn't want to copy his batting stance, that's right. Very unusual, but when the ball was there, his bat was there all the time.
You know, thinking back to the 50s when you were growing up in Little Rock, yeah. Obviously there were lots of things going on in Little Rock in those days. I mean, the integration of the high school. Can you, thinking about this for people 50 or 75 years from now, can you sort of paint a picture for you, for us, about what it was like for you in that community playing? I'm sure it was segregated.
Yes, it was segregated. And I never really thought too much about it, to tell you the truth. I mean, I was involved in sports, and actually the integration, I graduated in 55, and the integration happened in 1957. But as a youngster growing up, I felt like I had the best life of all. I couldn't ask for any more. I had a loving family and a wonderful community, and got to play all the sports, and really didn't think much about the integration problem until it happened. And I didn't have any problem, because when I started playing in 1955, I started playing. All of the leagues were integrated at that particular time. But looking back on it now, my wife and I often talk about the situation when we were in Florida, for instance, in spring training, and the black players stayed at one hotel and we stayed at the other hotels. And, you know, it was just something that was just kind of passed by me at that particular time. But we look back on it now and think how wrong it was, and if we'd really been on, really given it some thought then, maybe what would we have done? Because I know that I've read where the Brooklyn Dodgers, when Jackie broke in, a lot of times they stopped at certain restaurants down in Florida for spring training, and they wouldn't let Jackie in, so they just left, you know, the whole team. But it was growing up in Little Rock at that particular time, it was a nice place to grow up.
When you look back on your days in Little Rock, you mentioned your life with your family and the church. They always ask this question. There was, the church seemed to be a bedrock for so many of the players, so many of the lifestyle back in the 30s and 40s. How important was that spiritual background for you?
It was important. I think that my mom and dad, I usually had to go to church with them, but that was a place where you could be with young people, you know, your own age, and do a lot of things, and go to the fellowship. I think they call it FCA or something like that. But it was pretty important to me, and that's really, as I said before, Lindsey Deal and his family, and that's, we were very close, and that's really how I got to sign professionally. But looking back on it now, I think the fact that the church played an important role, I think, in my life as a youngster.
Brooks, lots of kids have great talent and get off the track, whether because they're drinking or they're fooling around, they're not staying with their job, really, which is what baseball was. What do you ascribe the fact that you were able to go through those years without having those problems? Was it the values your family had given you? Was it the fact that you had some good mentors along the way? Who kept you from going off the track as a young kid?
Well, I think my mother and dad probably kept me on track better than anyone else. And the fact that I played sports. I mean, you know, when I played sports, I just knew that you didn't drink, or not that I didn't have a drink once in a while, but you didn't smoke. I mean, you really, that's really what sports were all about. And the only way you could compete and be at your best was to do the right things and be in the best shape. I think my parents, more than anyone else, were really the guiding light in my life as far as trying to, and I had a brother who was 5 years younger than me. He was a football player. He went to the University of Arkansas and played football, but I don't think we gave, we were into a little mischief, but I think overall we didn't give my mother and dad a lot of problems, simply because we were into sports, and we knew that if we wanted to excel in sports, well, we had to do certain things and abide by certain rules, and that's the only thing that I can remember about that. But my parents were very influential in keeping me that way, I think.
Now tell us about your signing and then your first year in baseball, because there you left home, you were young. How old were you, 17, 18 years old? You go off to where, York, Pennsylvania, or some small town, and what was that life like? Again, thinking of this for people 75 years from now who won't have any sense of what it was like in the 50s to play minor league baseball.
I think that, as I said before, I really never wanted to do anything except be a professional baseball player. And then when I graduated from high school, I had some big decisions to make on whether to go to the University of Arkansas and play basketball and probably play baseball, but I had a basketball scholarship. But it's pretty hard to tell someone who just lived for the day that he'd get a chance to sign professionally that, hey, you can't do it right now. You've got to wait for a while. So I had a big problem in that respect, because my parents really wanted me to get an education. They had a high school education, and that was it. And they said, you know, well, we really want you to go to college. So I had to do some tall talking to convince them that, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm going to go to college. I can go come back here and go to winter semesters. And that's probably the only way that I really talked them into it, is saying I'd come back and go to school. But I signed the day I graduated with the Orioles, and it came down to Cincinnati and Baltimore who I'd sign with. And Cincinnati, and the reason I signed with Baltimore or Cincinnati, they offered me a major league contract, and that way I skipped the minor league contract and the option. So they could only, after 3 years, they had to make up their mind, were they going to put me on the 40-man roster, or were they going to let someone else draft me? So I really skipped the three options in the minor leagues, so they had to make a decision like 3 years earlier. And Cincinnati offered me the same thing, a major league contract and $4,000. And I can remember, you'll get a kick out of this, Faye, because Cincinnati, they complained that they thought I got a lot of money under the table and I didn't sign. But anyway, I had to go to Ford Frick's office, you know, and go up there. I was 18 years old, and I was in Ford Frick's office, and he said, okay, put your hand on the Bible, son. Do you swear to tell the truth and hold truth and nothing but the truth? And, you know, and I said, yes, sir, I do, you know, 18 years old, and I was in the commissioner's office already. And anyway, that was quite an experience. But anyway, I signed with Baltimore, and that really was the best thing that ever happened to me. I got a chance. I went to York, Pennsylvania, which was a Class B league, and did very well. Came back to Baltimore, and I got to play the last 2 weeks. The first game I played in was against the Washington Senators. I think Chuck Stobbs was pitching for the Senators. Anyway, I got two base hits, knocked in a big run. We won the game. I can remember running back to the Southern Hotel and calling my mom and dad, and I said, guess what, Mom? Just played my first big league game, got two hits. I said, man, this is my cup of tea. I don't know why I was in the minor leagues. I should be here in the big leagues. Anyway, the next 20 times I went to bat, 18 to be exact, I went 0 for 18. I struck out 10 times out of those 18, and I learned a pretty good lesson right there that, hey, this is you know, these guys are way ahead of me. I got a lot of more work in front of me to be an accomplished Major League Baseball player.
Now, what year was that?
That was 1955. And then
Stock
I came.
Was a pretty good pitcher. I mean, that was.
Oh, Chuck Stobbs.
Yeah,
Chuck Stobbs was a pretty good pitcher, but I got two hits that day, and I thought I was ready for the big leagues. But I learned a valuable lesson that day that it takes a lot of work to be a big league player.
Now, take us back to high school, though, before you signed. Can you tell us a little bit about that year in high school? You must have had a very good year. Did you have a good team? Were other kids signing? Give us a little insight.
Well, the only baseball I played during my was American Legion baseball. Little Rock Central High, which was the largest school in Arkansas, and they were all the other towns, the larger towns like Pine Bluff, El Dorado, North Little Rock. No one had baseball. They had football, basketball, and track. So all my baseball was after the school was out, and I played on. I played 4 years for American Legion baseball, and we played. A very good schedule. We traveled, went up to Altus, Oklahoma, and played in a big tournament there every year. Went over to Memphis and played in a tournament there. So we did some traveling. Had a very accomplished team. It was only one team in Little Rock, so we always had good American Legion teams. And last year I played, they split it up into. They had more boys, so they had more teams. But I played Legion ball, so I did not play any high school baseball, but I did all my Legion playing, and I played second base. And as I said, I signed as a second baseman with the Orioles.
But you could hit. I mean, from your early years, you were always able to hit.
I could hit, but I wasn't head over heels above.